Hey, before you get to your show, it's DJ and Bucky here with Move the Sticks. Bucky, tell them what's coming up on our beefy episode this week.
Calvin Johnson and Peyton Manning retired. We talk about where they stand amongst the NFL greats. Also, we discuss the difference between pro days and the combine, how important they are in the scouting evaluation.
And a red star, what is it? We'll tell you on Move the Sticks. Check us out, NFL.com/podcast, iTunes, as well as YouTube.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what is up? It's the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here alongside the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, rocking his Green Bay Packers hat today, Alex Gelhar. What's up, man?
I'm rocking the hat because, you know, we're in a drought out here, and I was going to be drought conscious and just go to the gym during my lunch hour and
sure.
work a little later.
Okay.
But podcast scheduling, snafus, everything. So now I'm just stuck over here in the hat. Extra long, which I don't mind. I've had this hat for years, as you can probably tell.
It looks worn in, and I enjoy it. Adam Rank doesn't like the fact that it is curved bill, though.
Yeah, whatever. I'm probably going to be a dad runner eventually, so I'll wear the dad hat. I don't think I could pull off a flat-brimmed hat, to be honest.
Oh, come on, pal.
I have a gigantic head, too.
You live with West Virginia's finest, Matt Harmon. He is. I get that he's from West Virginia, but he's a hipster now.
Yeah, so that means he's going to wear, like, fedoras, and or not fedoras, but, like, you know, Whitehurst-type hats.
That's true. That's true. Well,
okay. Poor Harmon's not here, and he's getting slandered on the podcast.
There's no slander. It's nothing but truths. Hashtag facts. We saw it. I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
West Virginia proclaimed yesterday Matt Harmon Day.
That was certainly official.
It's official. We also got MG, my guy, Marcus Grant here. Sans yogurt, because we're well into the afternoon.
Yeah. In fact, you know, this time of year, I actually switch it up. I'm more oatmeal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then when it gets warmer again, I'll go
You're
back
a seasonal
to
breakfast eater?
I kind of am, yeah.
All right,
you
interesting.
Know,
usually winter, fall.
Okay.
Fall, winter, I'm usually oatmeal. Spring, summer is more like yogurt, cereal. Sort of.
Things we learn on the NFL Fantasy Life podcast. Very good stuff here. We are going to be talking about dream free agency landing spots. A great article on NFL.com/fantasy written by one Mr. Alex Gelhar.
We got a lot of good free agency content. We'll just plug it real quick. There's that one. I also looked at the top 30 free agents, which is changing a lot as they're getting signed. And James did a massive piece on the cap situation for the teams and which ones are likely.
All 32, baby.
Which ones are likely to sign free agents. So to get your fantasy free agency primer, just head to NFL.com/fantasy. Or if you still have the app downloaded, pull it up.
Got
all that stuff in there, too.
Doug Martin, Lamar Miller, Matt Forte, Antonio Gates, Marvin Jones, Travis Benjamin, Arian Foster, Alfred Morris. We're going to try to pound out all of these guys.
Did you notice one name he left off that list, Marcus? It's Chris Ivory, who he hates.
Why?
It subconsciously left him off the list, jumped right over him.
You think it's subconscious, huh? You think it's just accidentally? Yeah, sure.
I black out when I see that name. I don't understand what's happening. But no, we will get to those names. Doug Martin and Arian Foster and Matt Forte especially, because I know there's a lot of intrigue.
A lot of stuff swirling around already today. We're
absolutely.
That legal tampering period, so some rumors are swirling.
Legal tampering.
That's one of my favorite phrases in all
it
of the NFL.
It makes no sense. That is the jumbo shrimp of oxymoron in the NFL. Legal tampering.
It's pretty fantastic.
I like it. All right, let's get to our top headline.
Oh, it's been a while since we've been able to have top headlines.
Oh, I like
it. There are a lot today, so here we go.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news.
Because
I'm a kid.
So y'all need to have your kids, have your wife.
All right, we're going to start in Tennessee and in Philadelphia. DeMarco Murray traded to Tennessee. We thought the Tennessee Titans, because of their cap situation and because of their positional depth and needs, would be a big-time player in the free agent market for running backs. In a way, I guess they were. They made a trade with Philadelphia to take on DeMarco Murray. I'm assuming obviously he comes in and immediately becomes the viable number one guy there. The running back situation certainly for the Tennessee Titans is not great.
It's less than ideal.
They had a couple of younger running backs that, although they, you know, they did re-sign Antonio Andrews, so he'll be there.
Correct.
But he's going to be playing a backup role, no question, to DeMarco Murray. What did you guys think of the move?
I kind of liked it. I mean, it spells the end of David Cobb, which Harmon made fun of me about over the last night too. It's like, how does it feel now that David Cobb is like officially dead in fantasy? I was like, it was bound to happen. But Murray wanted out because he wanted to be more of a feature back.
Yeah.
And Mike Mularkey was looking for a feature back. And we've heard, I saw on Twitter and other things that he, you know, he wants a guy that he can feed carries and,
yeah,
you know, for lack of a better term, almost run into the ground. So he's got that now in Murray. It helps the situation in Tennessee become more clear because previously, like you said, Andrews, David Cobb, Bishop Sankey were a mess this last year. Throwing Dexter McCluster too. We had no idea what that was going to look like now. Now we know it's DeMarco's backfield. And in Philly, unless they still try to move Ryan Matthews or they feel content with him, that turns it into a much more of a 1-2 punch with him and Darren Sproles.
You know, it's weird. I feel as if Ryan Matthews was the clear-cut winner in this trade.
Probably.
I just don't think it really helps DeMarco that much. Look, I know that he was absolutely, I don't know. What's the right? He was demonized last year. There's no question.
Murray?
He was also not good.
There were, yes, he was not good. There were a lot of stretches where he looked like a bad player. But I guess I look at the scheme, guys, and I look at Tennessee. Marcus Mariota, you know, played a lot of snaps out of the shotgun. I'm assuming they'll want to do a few more plays, a percentage of plays, I should say, from under center, which would help DeMarco Murray, right? But if they run a lot of shotgun, does this help DeMarco Murray at all?
All right, can we settle on a DeMarco Murray narrative? Because, you know, he got to Dallas and he was running a lot of plays. You know, the Cowboys ran a lot of plays under center.
Okay.
And DeMarco was fine, especially once they got that offensive line together. He had the huge year with, you know, almost 400 carries.
Yep.
And was it 1,800 rushing yards. But then he goes to Philly and, you know, everybody knew that Chip Kelly wanted to play out of the shotgun more. And then the narrative became, well, you know, he played in that system at Oklahoma with Sam Bradford.
Right.
And they were out of the shotgun, so
yes,
this should be fine. And obviously it wasn't fine at all. So now, like, are we happy that he's back under center or that the quarterback may be back under center? Because, I mean, we saw Mariota out of the shotgun a lot in college.
A lot, man.
And in the NFL last year. So, I mean, I feel like we need to crystallize a DeMarco Murray narrative somewhere.
We don't know what Mike Mularkey is going to do, right?
Well, he keeps saying that exotic smash mouth, which
who knows what that means?
Yeah, who really knows? We'd have to go back and look because it's coming from his, like, Cordell Stewart days. But
okay,
it seems to imply more of a power running game,
okay,
which would fit a little more with what DeMarco Murray does best. He was at his worst last year trying to run those stretch plays to the outside because you could tell at the end of 2014 he'd lost a little bit of a step after, you know, 12,000 carries in that one year. And it just wasn't happening last year. So if he can, but when he was ran between the tackles,
he looked good.
He looked good.
I thought he looked
fine.
That was
what he was. So we're not going to get 2014 DeMarco Murray in Tennessee,
no. But
we could get a fine facsimile.
What are we thinking here, stat projection wise? 1,200 yards?
That might be a little much.
Oh, that's a much.
Bit much? How about 1,200 total?
You know what I would feel for him is maybe in like 1,200 total, like a Chris Ivory stat line from this year. Like he gets around 1,000 yards, maybe a little more.
7-8 touchdowns?
6-8 touchdowns, couple hundred in the passing rate, in the passing game, and calls it a season.
Is this a guy that we take in the 6th round, 7th round? Later?
You might have to take him earlier than
I think it's going to be earlier than that because he's going to be the back there. I mean, there's nobody else really that's going to take carries away from him. And even with the Titans, just a featured back is worth a little bit more.
All right, so what's the price? What's the draft price? The thing is, he's a name, too.
He's a name, and people know what he's capable of if he gets more touches.
But he still has the stink of 2015.
That's what it is.
It's a powerful stink. I mean, he was a top 20 back. It was a terrible year last year.
Right.
But he, you know, his per-game averages were not as great. But he did have his stretches. So I'm guessing he's going to be one of those guys where, like, this year it was like the Frank Gore in the fourth-ish round.
Yeah.
Fourth, fifth, it's going to be like a DeMarco Murray range there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like round 4 or 5.
Ugh, I can't pay a round 4 price. I can't do it. There's too many good players, man. There's too many good players.
It depends how the board falls. It really does.
Yeah, it does. I'll tell you this. I think if you're playing it in like a more of an experts league, I think he'll fall. I do. Because in experts leagues, I mean, unless you're Michael Fabiano, you love upside guys, right? Like upside guys go way fast, way early. And it leaves guys like DeMarco Murray kind of trailing off a little bit. So, I don't know. Again, as always, it always depends on the setup and all that kind of stuff. But 10-team standard, I wouldn't be surprised to see him there in the fifth. If you can get him in the sixth, I'm comfortable with that price. Fourth, I can't do it. Let's talk about, two basically superstars hanging out. I think we already knew about Peyton Manning.
We were hoping, but yeah. It seemed to getting stretched a long time. Like, rumors were swirling that he might not be done or blah, blah, blah. But he is done, and good for him.
He looked like he was done for long stretches, maybe the entire 2015. But yeah, Matt Harmon wrote a very in-depth piece talking about his fantasy impact and where he sits. We're talking about Peyton Manning in terms of legacy, fantasy-wise. You can check that out on NFL.com/fantasy as well.
I mean, fantasy-wise, like, people will debate forever, and, Rank gets into it, his place among the all-time greats, like, in just terms of regular football. But fantasy-wise, Manning's kind of unparalleled so far in his run of sustained success, and not only what he did for owners that had him, but how he lifted literally everybody around him to,
unbelievable heights.
Wide receiver, RB1 heights, tight end 1 heights.
Like, it's ridiculous.
He turned guys like Brandon Stokley and Austin Collie into, legitimate fantasy starting options.
It's ridiculous.
Like, not to the point where, the Patriots passing game with Tom Brady always has guys, but you're not looking at all those wide receivers just trotting them out. But if Peyton's in the offense, you're like, hell, yeah, I'll start this guy.
Yeah.
Why not?
Absolutely. I mean, there were a lot of years where you could have just drafted Colts and you would have won.
Easily.
Are you kidding? Like, one of my early years playing fantasy football, I somehow ended up with Peyton Manning, a young Marvin Harrison, and some rookie running back named Edgerrin James.
Yeah,
I
baby.
Bowled through the league on the way to a championship.
There you go. I like it. All right, I like it. Yeah, find the piece online. Megatron also hanging them up. Marcus Grant, you wrote a nice little piece on Megatron as well. Truly one of my favorite players ever to play the game.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, the immediate conversation when the retirement was announced was whether or not he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and I don't think there's any doubt that he's a Hall of Famer.
How can that even be a conversation? I don't even understand.
I don't know.
Because lots of the Hall of Fame voting comes down to box score and accolades and stuff, but I think it should come down to what they did on the field, and for that several year stretch, there was nobody more dominant.
There was
than
nobody
Calvin
better.
Johnson.
Nobody better.
Nobody.
Than Johnson. So I don't think that's really a debate. But I think that the next thing is from our perspective is what does this mean for the Lions and
Golden Tate, baby?
Yeah, I see. I don't buy it. I know he played well for those stretches when Calvin Johnson was either hurt or not there. But I just don't know that the body of work for Golden Tate suggests that he can be a number one wide receiver. Certainly not for the Lions, and definitely not for a fantasy team.
Real quick, those games are encouraging, but it is also a small sample size.
Small sample size.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a handful. You're talking about, 3 to 5 games, essentially. I think what's going to be interesting to watch is what do the Lions do in free agency? Do they chase somebody maybe like Marvin Jones? Do they go out and draft Laquon Treadwell in the first round?
I think they will.
That is the projection right now. I've seen a lot of mock drafts where he falls to them at 16. I shouldn't say falls to them, but he ends up there with the 16th pick. In fact, someone in one of our planning meetings this morning, I believe it was the one and only Jim Reineking, made a comment of, could the Lions go from Megatron to Megaquan?
Oh, Megaquan. Yeah, buddy.
Oh, Jim Ryan.
There it is. There it is.
But I think that's going to have an impact, obviously, on Golden Tate, obviously on guys like Ameer Abdullah and Theo Riddick in the backfield, and, of course, on Matthew Stafford, because the Lions, for a stretch of like 3 or 4 years, I mean, Stafford was setting records every year for pass attempts. That has kind of come down a little bit the last few years,
Absolutely.
But they still throw the ball a ton. And what happens with that rebuilt wide receiver core is going to have a lot of impact on what Matt Stafford does.
Gosh, man, I don't know what that means for Golden Tate. This is an offense, though, that I'm scared of. I really am. I haven't seen any development at the quarterback position from Matt Stafford. It seems as if defenses have pretty much caught on. They know what he's going to do. He hasn't really adjusted his game. He certainly has the arm talent to do whatever he wants to do. He's got unbelievable arm strength. But again, you lose a guy like Calvin Johnson, who you know, regardless of whether or not he lost a step, guys, defenses had to account for him. Safeties had to account for him. They couldn't stack the box. I just
out of curiosity, I was pulling up on the RotoViz app. They have a game splits app. You can look at what a guy did, you know, in and out of games. So it's a small sample size, but the games where Calvin Johnson didn't play that Stafford played in, Stafford's passing yards were down by about 40. His yards per attempt were down by almost a whole yard. His passing touchdowns were down. His interceptions were down a little bit too, but I mean, it just seems like the whole kind of passing offense sunk without.
Well, yeah, Megatron.
And he wasn't a viable fantasy starter last year, anyways.
No, last couple of years. But I went back the last five seasons. I probably could go back even further than that. But even just going back the last five seasons, Calvin Johnson had 38% of the targets.
Woo!
The next closest person. The next closest person was Brandon Pettigrew at 15%.
Oh my!
Of the targets. So I mean, everything obviously funneled through Megatron. So it's going to be a different world there in Detroit without him there.
I mean, even if they did add a guy like Treadwell, I mean, rookie wide receivers generally don't do well. And Treadwell's not a burner anyways. He's not a guy, I don't believe, that coming into his rookie year will command the respect of defensive coordinators in terms of, like, you know, trying to take a safety over the top of the defense. He's just not that kind of guy. For me, the Detroit Lion defense without Megatron, or offense rather, without Megatron is on high alert.
I Treadwell would be okay there. He and Golden Tate, I think, would mirror each other's game maybe a little bit, kind of like Crabtree and Cooper do. Who I'd rather see the Lions get is like Josh Dotson, because he's the better athlete and he could replicate some of the stuff Megatron did, like
and
going up and getting it and stretching the field a little more.
And he'll be available, you know.
Should be.
Later.
We'll see.
Yeah. I think he'll be available to them in the second or third round.
There's a lot of time for these hype trains to get out of control.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. All right. How about Ryan Fitzpatrick? He says he's going to hit the open market there. I would be surprised if he doesn't re-sign with the Jets. I think it's kind of more posturing maybe to kind of, you know, gain a little leverage.
Maybe quarterback's getting paid, though. Sam Bradford, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, free agency is crazy, man.
It's wild. It's
free,
wild.
Free agency is crazy because certain guys, you're like, how did that guy get that contract? FYI, Dwayne Allen, breaking news, got 4 years and almost $30 million. Dwayne Allen had like five catches last year.
That's because they always kept him in line to block because their offensive line was getting quarterbacks, you know, destroyed on a weekly basis.
I mean,
Marcus and I both really like Dwayne Allen.
Dwayne Allen too.
I was hoping he'd go elsewhere, but staying there, apparently he said he had a talk with Rod Chudzinski, their new offensive coordinator, that encouraged him that he was going to be used more this year. So he could be back on the fantasy sleeper radar.
I like him. I like him a lot. But I just think, you know, 4 year, $29 million, and you know, I think like more than half of it's guaranteed. That's a cap killer, man. It is. I mean, you look at what they're giving Andrew Luck and what they're giving T.Y. Hilton. That's a cap killer to me, man. I just don't understand that move, but that's okay. Congratulations to him for sure. I definitely think he would not have gotten that in the open market, but I tell you what, congratulations.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to figure out. Back to Fitzpatrick, though. Yes. I hope he stays in New York because 100%. If he moves elsewhere, I think he falls back to the streaming category. But right now, he's a guy I might target as like a very, very late round, low end quarterback one.
Absolutely.
Like, he's not going to win me any weeks, but he threw like, 30 touchdowns last year, and he's going to have a whole other year in that offense. Chan Gailey's offense, which is the one that keeps getting him paid, and Decker and Marshall and a new good running back in free agency probably. Like, just stay, Ryan.
Please.
Stay for
all
of
really.
Us.
I feel like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, Derek Carr combo would be pretty nice, dude.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty nice to go into next
Ryan season. Fitzpatrick, Ty God, two quarterbacks out of the NFC East.
Yeah, buddy.
Or AFC East, excuse me.
I like it. The Broncos got a lot of different moves. I mean, we talked about Peyton Manning. The trickle-down effect was certainly could be felt, no doubt about it. Brock Osweiler got a little bit I think there's a split in terms of, like, you know, what he got offered, how people feel about it. Some people feel like, okay, that's a fair offer. Other people are like, oh, wow, that's it. But it's like you were saying, Alex, it's like in free agencies, things have been crazy, man. Things have been absolutely crazy.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting. Like, Brock's the big, this other big, like, however you want to, whatever analogy you want to use, domino, Jenga piece, whatever, that they're going to need to figure out. Because, like, so people saw him play pretty solid football, and in the NFL, playing pretty solid football at quarterback gets you paid.
Yeah.
And from what we've heard rumors so far is that the offer from the Broncos initially was lower than Osweiler and his camp would like, and it was only a 3-year deal. So
right.
Be interesting to see if a team like the Texans or somebody took a swing at Osweiler. You know, one of those teams that feels like they're just a solid quarterback away. Because that Texans team with their defense, they got Nuke. If they get a running back in free agency,
right?
Like that's interesting there. But
I don't know, MG. I know you and I have seen Osweiler play a lot because you know he played in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been impressed with Osweiler. I wasn't impressed with him last year. I think he was okay. The defense carried him a lot of games, and he has a lot of pieces there, man. Like when you've got Emmanuel Sanders, when you've got Demaryius Thomas, I just am not that impressed with him. I don't know.
Well, he's tall.
He's tall.
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand why the Broncos – see, and I think this is one of the things. We talk about the quarterbacks and the money that they're getting. But
yeah.
I think the defining thing is average to bad teams give a lot of money to quarterbacks who are just okay.
I agree.
And I think teams that are smarter teams or teams trying to turn a corner look at a quarterback and they look at his value and they look at what he has to offer in the future because you're paying a guy based on what he can be, not
yes.
on what he was.
Right.
And so
look at Mario Williams.
Right. You know, who obviously looks like he's going to get another big deal with the Miami Dolphins now. But, you know, I think the Jets look at a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick and they
yep.
see, obviously, they got a lot of good things out of him.
Yep.
But in terms of trying to commit to a guy down the road who is certainly on the downhill side of his career, you know, they're not going to go out and give him what he wants. And maybe he does go somewhere. Maybe somebody else pays him that kind of money. But what are they going to get
yeah,
out of him long term?
At the same time, you're paying for what the quarterback is now, though, as well. The Jets have a lot of pieces where, and they were a game out of being in that playoff mix and having it be pretty damn interesting. Like, they're not looking.
Right.
They're not necessarily looking for a quarterback in the future. They need somebody to win with them now. That's
right.
what Denver did with Manning. That's why he got that stupid amount of money, and the defense dragged him to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I mean,
somebody like Fitzpatrick getting $15 to $20 million a year for the Jets could do a lot more for them in the next 3 years of
that.
Playoff
I agree
runs.
With that. I agree with. I just I don't think like for me, I look at Brock Osweiler and I see a guy who's a dime a dozen player. Like you could replace him with damn near anybody.
I don't know about that. I think there's like 12 teams in the league at least right now that would love to have Brock Osweiler.
I feel like we don't know.
Tape.
I feel like we don't know much about Brock Osweiler. I feel like there's so little that we actually know about Brock Osweiler.
You know,
like he had those games where he started this past year when Peyton Manning was out.
When he played better than Peyton.
Okay, but that's not really saying
not
a whole
saying
lot.
Much, bro.
I'm just saying.
But in four seasons, he has 7 starts.
And
it's not a lot.
And I'll say this. The one thing that was a good fit for Brock Osweiler and that team, he was very conservative with that football. Very conservative with the football. Like, you couldn't take, like, an Austin Davis and win games.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Because he's too much of a gunslinger.
I
but, but again, we'll move on. But, man, it'll be interesting to see.
If he stays in Denver, I think that's his best fantasy potential. Because, like you said, they've got a lot of weapons. Although,
yep.
we should get to one more nugget on them quick.
Please.
But if he goes elsewhere, I'd be a little bit – he's just a streamer.
Oh, not even. I wouldn't even – I'm not even looking at him, period. There's too many other guys. I mean, unless I'm playing it – well, I do play in this crazy, stupid 16-team league, which is ridiculous. But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm not – yeah, I wouldn't look at him. I really wouldn't. With the Broncos, maybe.
But what maybe. Hurts is the Broncos are hitting C.J. Anderson with his original round tender.
I know.
Because he's a restricted free agent, so that means they get the first offer. They can put the
right.
tender on him.
Yeah.
Depending on how high it is, he can sign that, or another team has to, like, how does it work? They give up a
draft pick.
A draft pick
right.
to get him. And they hit C.J. Anderson with his original round tender, which was very low. And
super low.
C.J. Anderson on Twitter was like, oh, wow, that's not nice. And
yeah.
It sounds like he could get some interest, which is unfortunate because he was far and away the better running back in that offense last year than Ronnie Hillman, also a free agent.
Yeah, I think Ronnie Hillman will be gone, but, man, it's
I don't know. Hillman's Kubiak's boy.
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting, though, because C.J. Anderson is a restricted free agent at exactly the wrong time. Very smart, savvy GM move by the Broncos, I do believe, because mm-hmm. the market right now is flooded with a lot of very good running backs. And I like C.J. It's just he's a clear tier down from the guys that are available right now. And then as we've looked at, you know, in terms of the salary cap, it's like, look.
Is he though? You've got Doug Martin.
Lamar Miller.
Who's got injury concerns. Lamar Miller,
okay.
who We all clamor for him to get more touches, but sure. There might be more to the story than we know about
Chris
why he's not.
Chris Ivory
has injuries.
How about Matt Forte? How about
Matt Forte? Injuries. Matt Forte is like the safest of the bunch, but he's over 30.
Okay, that's fine.
And he's probably got the most touches out. I think he's the most touches out of all of them.
100%.
So like, I wouldn't say C.J. Anderson's a clear step down.
Oh, you're saying C.J. Anderson's not the second tier below those guys?
No, I think he's on par with those guys.
I mean, he might be at the bottom of that list, but he's in that tier. I don't think it's a tier difference.
Oh man,
the second tier is like the Ronnie Hillman, Bilal Powell, James Starks that are available in free agency.
Oh, that's even. That's
poor Alfred Morris has just lost some weight.
Where's Alfred Morris? Alfred Morris is like, well, I can't even get respect on Fantasy Live.
Sorry. No. I love you, Alfred Morris.
I know, me too. No, I mean, that there's another guy that I think I would rather have over C.J. Anderson.
Oh, no way.
No?
No.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he does have stone hands, so he's a little bit of a two-pound guy. But, boy, man, it's interesting to hear you guys. And I'm the Cal guy.
I know.
And I'm the Cal.
I know.
I'm a little
the
interested
matter
to hear
with you?
That. I don't know what's wrong with me. Do we have any other headlines here?
Yeah, well,
how about RG3?
RG3.
I do like that the fact that you accidentally wrote him down as RG2 because he hasn't played well enough to be RG3.
So he lost a number. He lost a generation.
It's like a power bar in a video game.
Exactly.
Like he's knocked down a little bit.
Exactly.
Got to level up again.
Like I don't know where he's going to end up. I know the Texans have talked about, or there's been rumors that the Texans
LA
might be interested in
Rams.
His.
Rams. Come on.
I mean,
one, there's the irony of the fact that the Rams, you know, mortgaged the farm.
Right.
To, you know.
Right.
And ended up not getting, you know, whatever. You know the whole story.
Yes.
But also because Hollywood loves a comeback story. Why not bring him out to L.A. with the, you know, the franchise returns home. Robert Griffin III trying to rebuild his career, does it in the law in, you know, the, well, starts in the Coliseum, moves over to the new stadium in Inglewood.
I think LA
loves a comeback.
I think there's been speculation too that RG3 could be, you know, connected to possibly replacing Colin Kaepernick if Colin Kaepernick really feels that strongly about moving on.
RG3 is such an interesting figure to watch in the fantasy community right now because everybody remembers how fantastic he was that
he started. Season. Yeah, he started his first six games. Unbelievable.
His whole rookie season was phenomenal.
Well, he fell off on the tail end
when he busted up his knee. Yeah. But like, I mean, that there's that season, but the last time we actually saw him on an NFL field, he was a broken quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't read the defense. He was skittish in the pocket. He couldn't even, like, run.
I think, yeah, I just think, like, you know, I've been asking some of the guys around here, former players, how do you come back mentally? How do you, because that's what it is for him. I mean, I know a lot of fans look at these guys as video game guys. Right? Oh, you got the tools, you got the physical attributes, you should be able to do it. It's not that simple, man. You got to put it together mentally. You got to be healthy mentally. You got to be comfortable.
And
you got to be confident.
Quarterback's the most mental position out there, so most cerebral.
Right. So, I don't know.
That's why a fresh start will help. I mean, we're not obviously advocating going and picking him up.
No.
Like, he's somebody to watch.
I don't know where he's going to go. Wherever, if he goes, ends up in Houston, it's the most interesting because of Nuke. Everywhere else, not terribly interesting at all, especially if he ends up with the Niners. Forget it. Mm-hmm. Don't want that. If he ends up...
What? You don't want to throw into Jerome Simpson and...
Patton.
Bruce Ellington? Oh, like, come on.
Oh, man. That is a rough bunch. All right, let's talk about free... Yes, please.
One more news note.
Please.
It obviously has... The deal hasn't been signed yet because it's just a legal tampering period, but Benjamin Watson, after a career year, a career renaissance with the Saints, is very likely signing with the Ravens.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Because
it is. They've got a million tight ends on their
roster. They have Max Williams, took in the second round last year.
Your boy Crockett Gilmore.
Crockett Gilmore, who has had multiple surgeries on his shoulders I think he's had one on each this offseason so far. So that could be why they went and got Watson as like a stopgap until one of those two actually fully develops.
That's interesting.
Because they had, Nick Boyle, but he just got slapped with an 8-game suspension or whatever for PEDs.
Dennis Pitta has one quarter of a hip remaining.
Poor Dennis Pitta. But,
oh, that's the Ravens on the phone. That's the Ravens on the phone right there talking about their tight end. I mean, you know, they still have Ozzie Newsome there too.
He could suit up and play
in case they really are hurting.
Is that
tight
is
end.
That is that why they keep making moves for tight ends? Are we seeing a trend here?
Probably. And
is that what this is?
I think we just got crank called in the podcast studio.
Awesome.
Seeing anybody on the line. So
sweet.
I do like it. All right, let's talk about free agency. Unless you want to continue talking about.
No, I just think Ben Watson might be somebody to think about in the late rounds. He played very well. And then in the New Orleans, it's
Michael Huamanawinui.
You're forgetting.
Oh,
one of the
Josh
the,
Hill.
Marcus, I was trying to lead it in. It's one of the big offseason sleepers last year that just got buried. R.I.P. to Josh Hill and all the hype that was surrounding him.
He was going to slide right into Jimmy Graham's spot.
Exactly.
That's right. I forgot.
Get excited for Josh Hill hype pieces coming to you this summer.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will not buy into that at all. All right, let's talk about free agency landing spots. And these are basically ideal situations,
so
right?
So these were my ideal situations, okay. Yeah. And that's why I'm going to feel free for you guys to counterpoint them, and we can have a good discussion here.
Sure.
But with free agency set to start tomorrow, I looked at this big – at the top-end guys that are out there, the Doug Martins, Lamar Millers, Antonio Gateses. And should we want to go one by one, or should I run through the whole list? Let's go one by one. All right, so first up –
By the way, before you start, just warning everybody out there on Twitter, beware. This is a time of year when fake accounts run rampant.
Rampant.
And I say that because I just saw a friend of mine quote tweeted as a joke. He obviously was in on it. But Rap Schecht tweeted that the Raiders had signed Doug Martin to a 5-year, $38 million deal.
Beautiful.
So just be aware.
Check the @handle. Don't look at the regular name.
Before you start getting angry or excited and retweeting and stuff like that. So, all right, there you go. Continue.
Somebody tried to fool me on Twitter, too. It's funny. It's like, oh, hey, now that Matt Forte is with Green Bay, where should we draft him? I'm like, come on, bro.
All right, so first off, Doug Martin. I think we agree the biggest fantasy free agent currently. I thought his dream free agency landing spot is to just stay in Tampa Bay.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
I mean, there's a lot of interest, and he wants a lot of money. But from all the things, like, this was a guy whose fantasy career looked like he was on the brink.
Yeah.
Dirk Cutter, offensive coordinator last year, now the head coach, came in and pounded the table for him, gave him, I think it was around 74% of the backfield carries, which was the fifth most of any backfield in the league for, like, one player. And there's a good young nucleus around him. Offensive consistency, there's always something to be appreciated with that. So I just thought, for everything for Doug Martin, he should stay there. What say you guys?
I think he knows his role there, too. I know Charles Sims will eat into his third down production. But, I mean, overall, I thought they used him well. I thought they used him in smart situations. And they gave him work. Sometimes he wasn't necessarily – is he a superstar? I wouldn't say he's a superstar. No. But he's a very capable back.
I agree. And I do agree that his best landing spot would be back in Tampa. Now, let's keep in mind, though, because like last year, I was driving the Doug Martin hype train. I always believed. But I also believed that he was going to be maybe a high-end, at best, RB2. He was not going to be an RB1. Now, he ended up kind of putting RB1 numbers because of attrition, because everybody else went away.
Right.
So I would say, yes, I like Doug Martin again this year. But, again, I like him as a second running back for your fantasy roster.
There you go.
Don't go drafting him in the first two or three rounds.
There you go.
Thinking that he's going to be a guy you can start week in and week out, because he's just not going to be.
Still a pretty young man. He's entering his prime, 27 years old. Again, you mentioned that young nucleus with Jameis Winston and Mike Evans and
Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with Vince. Have they said what they're going to do with Vincent Jackson?
I think they're going to try and keep him again.
Yeah, they might try to keep – I mean, he might sign
and get some youth around them, yeah.
Yeah, or Vince might try to, restructure his deal or something. I don't know. But normally I would think he's going to be a cut because he makes way too much money and none of it is dead money. But just with their cap situation, they have a crazy amount of cap space. So, yeah, I mean, this is where reality meets fantasy, right? Because they have a lot of space, a lot of cap space. They have a clear role for him. They have a clear need for him. I'd be surprised if he left. I really would. And I know everyone wants to clamor to try to see him in a Dallas uniform or whatever it might be. They can't afford him, man.
Every free agent running back out there, people are attaching to Dallas.
Yes, I agree. All right, well, who's next?
Speaking of attaching people to Dallas, Lamar Miller, I think there's ways Dallas could wiggle around it. Their cap situation right now is not great.
No.
But I think of all the backs, he would be the best one that would be served to go to Dallas, where I know Darren McFadden played well last year and they've still got him on the cheap.
Yep.
But that offense was at its best in 2014 when they had DeMarco Murray as both between the tackles workhorse and dynamic player out of the backfield as well. And that's exactly what Lamar Miller is. We saw him when he got the requisite touches last year just tear defenses apart. Like, that game against Houston was just a clinic. And, like, he broke.
And that was in the first half.
He broke ankles. He, you know, he
200
ran,
plus
he
yards
ran
in the first
with power.
Half. Was ridiculous.
Yeah, he was fantastic. So, that, and again, this is why this was a dream scenarios piece. This wasn't as steeped in reality as your salary cap piece, James. But I, in a perfect world, I would like Lamar Miller go to Dallas. What say you two?
I think you're right. I mean, the salary cap is crazy. It's almost impossible to figure out because you could restructure your deal in all kinds of different ways. I think the Cowboys, right as of this second, and again, they haven't done any official signings yet. I think they have less than $10 million in cap space, which is not great. I do believe Lamar Miller will command around that $7 million per year mark.
I think that's what he's looking for.
I just think, given his age, what is he, 25 years old? He's 24. Given his age and given his limited workload over the past few years, I think $7 million per sounds about right for him. So, yeah, can Dallas make it work? Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But would you like to see him go anywhere else, or do you think Dallas is best?
You know what, man? I really liked him in Tennessee. I really did, so that because he's so young, he could grow with Marcus Mariota. But I wouldn't mind seeing him in Dallas Cowboys uniform. And, you know, I tell you what, I wouldn't mind seeing him in a Houston uniform either.
There you go. See, that's where I was thinking, is a Houston Texan. I know the Texans are really hot after him right now. You know, I mean, they've got, obviously, Nuke Hopkins, who really has erased the fact that they haven't had great consistent quarterback play over the last couple of years. And so you put a running back there. I mean, they were a much better offense, I mean, it goes without saying, when Arian Foster was healthy and
right.
playing well, because he's so good and because you really do have to dedicate a lot more resources to him. And I'm not saying Lamar Miller is Arian Foster, but he could be a nice guy to fill in and kind of settle that running back position. I mean, when they went through Alfred Blue and Jonathan Grimes and Chris Polk, bang, bang, chicken and shrimp, they went through that whole litany of running backs and really didn't get any kind of production out of them. I think having Lamar Miller there kind of settles that down.
I agree.
You've got Hopkins on the outside, and then whoever you decide at quarterback, as long as that person is competent, I think that changes a lot of things in that offense.
Man, I tell you what, if RG3 ends up out there, RG3, Nuke Hopkins, Lamar Miller.
It's pretty good triplets.
Listen, I don't know if it's going to be effective at all, but I tell you this, there's going to be some intrigue.
That's an upside play for James. I wouldn't mind Lamar Miller in Houston as well, because there were a lot of periods where they still tried to make Alfred Blue the feature back, and when Foster was healthy, they gave him all of the touches.
Right.
So Lamar wants to be a featured back. Their offense works better when it has one. That marriage could make a lot of sense too. All right, next on the list. My boy, Chris Ivory.
Your boy.
Just a guy to James.
Just a guy. Yes, it is.
Perfect situation for him would be to go to New England.
I think that there should be no other choices. Like, that's it. Like there's no more perfect situation.
If we're talking dream scenarios, the Patriots just made LeGarrette Blunt fantasy relevant on minimal touches an early down between the tackles hammer.
That's right.
Ivory's, like, not quite as powerful as Blunt, but he's a very powerful, fast back who would do well to have his touches reduced because he's a fantastic player but keeps getting dinged up.
That's right.
They wouldn't need any pressure on him in the passing game because Deion Lewis could still come in for that, and I think it would be good enough for both him, for Ivory and Lewis, to thrive as like RB2. But put up solid numbers as like RB2, RB3.
It's so interesting. Like that's why I find this one to be interesting. You love Chris Ivory, and my God, you guys love Deion Lewis.
Yes.
I love Deion. I love them both.
How do you not?
So what I find interesting is that if Chris Ivory goes to the Patriots, doesn't it kill the value for both guys? No.
No, not really, because Chris Ivory really was only they tried to make him a three-down back with the Jets, but he really wasn't. He was more effective as a two-down back, and then they would bring in, like, Bilal Powell or somebody else to try to clean up. And so I just feel like LeGarrette Blunt probably moves on in New England, and the perfect replacement for him is, I mean, it really is. It would be like if James Bond went from Sean Connery to Daniel Craig. Like, that's how it should have gone.
Right.
Skip all those guys in the middle.
Well, I like Pierce Brosnan. No,
Pierce Brosnan was fine.
Okay.
Hey, Roger Moore had some good ones as well. But back, but anyways, what I think this would work out and keep them both effective is Ivory early in the season was impressive, busting off long runs, breaking tackles. When injuries and all the carries wore him down, when they tried to make him a featured back, he was just not the same player the last month of the season. That's when Bilal Powell flat out outplayed him.
Right.
So you take away some of those carries and catches earlier in the season, keep him explosive throughout the whole year, I think it could be a good fantasy mix.
Interesting. All right. I don't know where else. I don't have him anywhere else, really.
Other than staying maybe with the Jets.
Yeah.
And trying that
Jets.
Again, because he did well in that system. So,
you know, it's interesting. We mentioned the Patriots and the Jets. I could see LeGarrette Blount going to the Jets, actually. I think he's a low-cost option for them. You talk about having a hammer. It's already a very veteran team, right? So, like, this is a team that really needs to win now. They really do. LeGarrette Blount, they're not going to have to lock up long-term money in LeGarrette Blount. We're talking about the Jets. And to me, he seems like a pretty good fit. Great defense. I love the coach there in Todd Bowles. Their passing attack, obviously, is going to be occupying a lot of safeties. It leaves a lot of running lanes open for guys like LeGarrette Blount to kind of salt away leads if they can get there. And I really like that fit, but we shall see. All right.
Next up. One of the other big names.
Oh, my God.
Matt Forte.
Everyone loves talking about Matt Forte.
Everybody loves. I mean, he's been a phenomenal player for the last, 8, 9 years or whatever. For me, I thought it would make a lot of sense in a dream scenario for him to go to New York.
Okay.
Pair back up with Brandon Marshall. Hopefully they keep Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, that's right. There
so
you
now
go.
You've got two great receiving threats. And then basically Forte would give them everything they had in Ivory and Bilal Powell.
Combined.
They can just get a nice guy in the draft to develop, spell Forte when he needs to be. But he would be the true featured back there, make a run at the playoffs again with that team, and I think he could just be stellar in fantasy.
The Jets have almost no cap space, but
they freed up some.
They
recently,
did free
actually.
Up, but that's what I'm saying. They did free up enough. What do you guys think it'll take to sign Matt Forte?
Not
like a
lot.
2-year deal for $12 million?
Maybe, probably less. Oof. I don't know. He's over 30, and he's chasing a ring, so he wants to go to a team that has a chance.
But that's what I'm saying. Do you think the Jets are close?
They were, a bad fourth quarter from Ryan Fitzpatrick away from being in the playoffs last year and making some noise.
Marcus?
I do like the Jets. I mean, now we're talking dream, like, fantasy.
Sure,
bits.
Why not?
Because I would say the Texans are another one for him, too, because I feel like he's the next closest back out there to Arian Foster.
Not close to a championship.
But that's the thing. Like, we're not talking about what Matt Forte wants.
we're talking about
what Marcus wants.
Right. That's why I said right? Jets, too.
Right? We're talking about what Marcus wants. So Marcus would like to see Matt Forte.
Oh, that's great.
In Houston, because I think that's a great fantasy pick. Now, I understand. I get it. Like, okay. for him going to the Jets, they're certainly closer to a championship than the Texans are. Whatever.
I mean, what Matt Forte wants is, like, Green Bay, New England, or Seattle.
Right.
Probably.
Right. I know the Packers are making it, which I know would make Alex very happy.
Oh, yeah.
I would be okay with that. It'd make James happy, too. James hyped up the Forte to Green Bay thing.
I do love it indeed. I mean, we've been talking about Matt Forte possibly to Green Bay, and I know, Alex, you broached this subject first, and then when I started doing a little bit more digging, I'm like, you know what, man? It makes a lot of sense. They have the cap space, certainly. We're talking about the Packers to make it happen. And, you talk about if Matt Forte really wants to stick it to the Bears, that'd be a great way to do it. I think the Packers could legitimately offer him a 2-year deal around $12-15 million, most of it maybe $10 million guaranteed or something. And yeah, sure.
I would guess it would
impact their cap at all.
I would guess he gets more in the 3-4 range if he signs with a team like the Packers.
That might be true. I'm just saying they've got the space if they wanted to get it done.
I would love it for a football perspective because he's a phenomenal football player.
That's
and I
right.
think he'd be a great add to the Packers. It would be frustrating from a fantasy perspective because what the hell happens to the Eddie Lacy renaissance then? And how do they divvy up those touches? And, like, are we stuck guessing if it's a Lacy week or a Forte week every time?
That's like, why.
That becomes a total headache. It makes the Packers offense much scarier, but at the same time, from fantasy, you're like,
right. Which
that's
is
so
why
fun. I'm not worried about that.
Which is why if we're talking about what Marcus wants, we don't want Green Bay.
Yeah, we don't want Green Bay.
we don't want
New England.
I wouldn't mind Matt Forte with Green Bay. Like, I know that I know that Eddie Lacy burned a lot of fantasy owners last year. I just think maybe they just say, you know what, man, let's drive his free agency price down. We're not going to give him the touches, man. Let's just give it to Forte, wear him into the dirt. Let's go for the championship right now, today, and let's just go for it.
Yeah, there could be a 50-50 split, which even, would lower Lacy's value and be great for the team. But
sure.
Fantasy-wise, that would anger a lot of people.
I'm not saying either. If Forte goes to the Packers, I'm not saying either guy is a first-round pick, clearly.
God, no.
But would I take either one of those guys in the third, fourth? 100%, absolutely. I'll do it. I'll do it all day. I'd love that fit there. Let's see if we can make it happen.
Well, speaking of the Packers, this is a good transition into the next player on my list that was a dream landing spot.
Okay.
Ladarius Green.
Love it.
Long behind Antonio Gates in San Diego.
Yep.
Earlier this year when he had – or last year, at the beginning of last season when Gates was on his suspension for PEDs, Green proved that he could be a number one tight end, and he's dynamic. the Packers have desperate need for speed at the tight end position since they lost Jermichael Finley.
Right.
We love Rich Raj. You know, he's
sure.
he's your Cal guy. He
oh, yeah.
came up with that amazing Hail Mary. The man does not have any jets. They keep trying to run him on out routes and have him turn the corner and break a tackle, and
it doesn't go
like
over.
He can't. He couldn't.
They want him to be like Jordan Reed, and he's just not.
Yeah, he's not. But Ladarius Green could be, and he would be a dynamic piece to that passing
oh
offense.
God, he
so
is
then,
a burner.
Then you get Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Laddie Green, and uh-oh. Janice Aberderis, Adams, uh-oh. Ty Montgomery. Whoever uh-oh. Wins that, now we're cooking. You know, you're cooking with gas there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't think there's any debate there.
I really feel like between. You know, between you and Co, like, you're turning them into, like, FC Barcelona. You're putting them into, like, Darius Green. They get Matt Forte.
Messi.
You know, like,
Neymar. Right. Everybody come on down.
Like, come on down. You know?
We'll score all the points.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Likewise, Gates, San Diego. Why break up a good thing?
There's no other place.
He and Rivers right have the most touchdown passes between any quarterback pass-catching duo. And I think, like, it's going to happen. So, like,
I don't. You think so? Because I think if the Chargers do the right thing, if they do the smart thing, I think they say, "Look, Gates, we love you, but we got to let you go." I mean, that's what they did to LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a different regime there. You know, I mean,
was it? It's the same guys.
I don't know. I feel like it was a different time. Like, I can't.
I think it was a different regime.
It
happened in 2010.
It's the same GM, man. It's what the heck is that guy's name?
It's not Tom Telesco, was it?
No, you're right. It wasn't Tom Telesco.
No, it was a different regime. Like, I honestly couldn't imagine seeing Antonio Gates in a different uniform. I mean, could you imagine
not
in a Chargers uniform? I just can't. I can't envision.
But I would think that if he doesn't get signed by the Chargers, I think he walks away. That would be my.
He's either Chargers or retirement.
Right.
I don't think he goes.
I don't know. He might chase a ring.
He's been talking about retiring, man, for a couple years now. I don't know. I'd be interested to see what happens.
But hopefully he stays there for fantasy and everything. Like, that'd just be better.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right.
He's one of my favorite players for sure.
Speaking of James's favorite players, let's go to a Cal guy, Marvin Jones. I thought it'd be perfect for him in New York.
Okay.
I don't think he's got what it takes to be relied upon as a number one.
No.
But he is a dynamite number two. And if you pair him with a guy like Odell.
Oh, my gosh.
Whew.
Oh, my gosh.
Whew.
Get excited, New York.
I like it.
Get excited. You know, and you know, where this jibes really is the fact that, you know, New York has reportedly asked Victor Cruz to either restructure his contract and take a huge salary cut, and Cruz kind of balking at that. That's interesting. That is interesting.
Like,
they could legitimately cut Cruz. They legitimately could. It would save a little bit of dough. But
that, the injury he had, the torn patella tendon, is one that, like, does. It's not an ACL.
No,
it does not have the history of
right.
guys bouncing back
nope.
and being anywhere close to the same player.
That's right.
Which is sad because Cruz is awesome. But
yep, I agree. But man, yeah, I agree with you. Marvin Jones next to Odell Beckham. Oh golly, that's interesting. That would be an interesting fit there for him. No question about it. I love it. I hope it happens. I do hope it happens. That would be wonderful. Marcus?
No, I think it's, I'm trying to think. My tendency is to put him in Houston. You guys are putting everybody in Green Bay. I'm putting everybody in
H-Town, representing.
And basically have him play alongside DeAndre Hopkins.
that could be another fine one.
Make that a 1-2 punch.
The one other place that I would say that has a chance and that could have legs, we've heard nothing yet, but free agency still hasn't officially begun yet. San Diego. He's got first of all, he's from L.A. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump, obviously, to San Diego.
He'll be back in Cal colors again.
He'd be back in Cal colors, which would be wonderful. And speaking of Cal, he would reunite with the former teammate there, Keenan Allen, that he has some history with. And I think, you know, it's not really a step down for him in terms of quarterback play going from Cincinnati to Phillip Rivers. I really don't think so. So I think that's an interesting fit to me. For Marvin Jones as well.
Let's not rule out him staying in Cincinnati. They won't keep him, but that would be worse for his fantasy value.
Can I create a fake narrative here about
please?
That?
Sure. Okay.
Please.
Just looking at his Wikipedia page.
I love narratives. Let's go.
Marvin Jones's middle name
okay.
is Lewis.
Oh.
So why not keep Marvin Lewis Jones with Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati?
I like it. Marvin Lewis Jones.
Marvin
That's right.
Lewis. All right,
right.
I like it. All right, let's speed through the last couple here on the list. Travis Benjamin. I've seen a lot of people. Matt Harmon was watching more of him at the apartment, and I saw some other guys checking out his tape. He's offering a lot. He's actually a pretty good route runner, and he's a burner, as we know. I would love to see him head down south and pair with Julio Jones.
They need him.
because that offense was hurting for speed last year.
Yeah.
Roddy White was a shell of his former self. You know, great player, but nearing the end. Jacob Tammy, slow. Like, Devonta Freeman's great, but he's not burning anybody out of the backfield. It's basically just Julio Jones.
Right.
So you get a speed complement on the outside that can also run some intermediate and underneath routes. And there we go. That's exactly what Matt Ryan needs.
And it plays to, you mentioned, it plays to Matt Ryan's strengths. He likes going downfield. I know that the whole offense wanted to be a little shorter, and they wanted to get, you know, Julio Jones involved from all kinds of different, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm telling you, Matt Ryan likes to go downfield, and he's got a beautiful deep ball. Why not utilize that a little bit more?
Or if Julio's taking coverages deep, you're hitting a speedy guy like Travis Benjamin over the middle on
Absolutely.
Some crosses and slants and letting him do work after the catch.
I agree.
Now we're talking.
I like it. I love that fit. I absolutely love that fit.
Marcus, you want him in Houston too?
No, I think Atlanta's probably a better fit for Travis Benjamin.
All right, Foster, I'm gonna have to change the article now since last night's news. But I was trying to think of where we could slot him as a end of career guy with his talents running the football and out of the backfield. And I thought Tennessee would make a lot of sense because he could be the featured back there. But they went and got DeMarco Murray. So I guess now if I was picking a place for him.
How about the Colts?
Oakland? Ooh, Colts aren't bad, too.
How about the Colts?
The Colts, I think, are a better fit than Oakland right now.
Oakland has admitted to wanting another running back outside of Latavius Murray.
They ran him a lot, by the way, Latavius Murray. He does need a little he's a freak athlete.
He actually led the league in percentage of backfield carries.
They gave it to him a lot. And I was surprised. He actually didn't show a lot of explosiveness last year.
No, and I think that's what they were worried about, is that he might not have had the vision or the nuance and things like that. And then catching passes out of the backfield was a mess for them. One day it was Helu, one day it was Olawale, one day it was Marcel Reese. Like, a back like Foster could make.
Was Orleans Darkwa on that backfield?
No,
that's the Giants. That was the Giants.
Jamiz Olawale is the one.
I got one for you, though.
Okay.
If Lamar Miller moves on, what about Miami?
Oh,
that could be fun.
Have him slide in and, kind of add a little more veteran presence. But, I know Tannehill's not necessarily a youngster anymore. But, you put him there, help out Ryan Tannehill a little bit. You've got
Sure would be a wet blanket on the Jay Ajayi hype train, though.
Yeah, it would.
Eh, whatever.
I'll be interested to see how much space they have Miami after if the reports are true that they're going to be signing Mario Williams.
Sounds like they are, from what I'm seeing on Twitter and in our email accounts here.
There you go.
One more particular option, because Arian Foster, obviously, when he's over 30, he's had injuries. Maybe not a guy who can be a workhorse back. What about pairing him up with Melvin Gordon? He comes back home to San Diego.
Oh, my gosh.
Pair him up with Melvin
Gordon down there. Ring that bell.
And you help out that ground game there.
No, that ground game already has the greatest player that has ever worn the powder blue, and that's Danny Woodhead.
My bad. I forgot about that.
Come on, Marcus.
I did forget. Oh, right.
All right. One more guy to get through here before we move
please.
On.
Okay.
And this one was, I had said in the article, too, one of the hardest ones for me to figure out a spot for is our dear friend Freddie Moe.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of
Alfred Moore.
He's kind of a little bit limited. He's got bricks for hands.
Yep.
He's a talented runner, but he didn't show a lot last year. And his carries, yardage, and yards per carry have dipped every year he's been in the NFL. But I thought he could potentially be a nice stopgap in Indianapolis for them. Get him for cheap. Frank Gore was a beast last year, battled through a lot of injuries, but could use some help. With Chud there, they might want to go to a little bit more of the power running game like he's done in the past. Just feed Alfred Morris the rock between the tackles and get somebody to catch passes out of the backfield.
I like it. He's 27 years old. I think his. I think if they gave him more of a featured role, I think he'd respond. I think you look at that offense, certainly at least on paper, if everybody stays healthy, it looks explosive. There's no reason what not to think. They've been trying to, man, it's amazing. They've been trying to manufacture the run game there in Indianapolis for years now. The only reason I don't think it's a great fit is because right now it seems like to me they need a guy who can make plays on third down. And that's not Alfred Moore.
No, it's not. That's why I said it was a hard one to figure, because he lacks that ability there. So they would probably need a guy that's a more complete back, maybe like an Arian Foster. But
the reason I wrote Arian Foster there was because of that skill set. I think him in with Frank Gore, they can help each other out. You know what I mean?
Hopefully help each other stay healthy.
Right, exactly. And try to be a little bit more effective. And again, you got to love the revenge game narrative too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like twice a year, he's going to be going up against the Texans. You're telling me you don't want a piece of that action?
Could be.
I'd love
the revenge games.
I would love that.
Freddie Moe's a tough one to figure. So
yeah,
we'll see where he
it
lands.
Is.
Well,
I don't know where he'd go, man.
What about, since we're moving pieces around, Ivory leaves New York, and Alfred Morris slides in there with the Jets.
And they keep Bilal Powell to play
Bilal
there.
Powell.
Cheap backfield.
That's not bad.
I want him to go
somewhere
where they will, you know.
Give him the rock on the goal line.
Yes. That's all I want. That's all I want for him.
That's not bad.
That's been on Alfred Morris's Christmas list for 4 straight years, and he hasn't gotten it.
I like that one.
It's Red Rider
BB gun. It is his Red Rider BB gun, yes.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so we wrote a lot, by the way, about free agents and free agents.
And we'll write a lot more as it kicks in the gear.
So be sure to check out the website, NFL.com/fantasy, to get all of those articles.
Find them in the app. Keep the app downloaded.
There you go.
Follow us on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. It's all good.
It's Daily Dap time.
All right, let's do it.
Extra, read all about it.
This is the day.
All right, Daily Dap time. Marcus Grant, should we start with you, my friend?
Sure. I want a Daily Dap. Well, first, I guess a quick story.
Yes.
On Saturday, sitting out in the front yard of my girlfriend's house, I look up and I see, no joke, a giant cloud of bees coming toward me.
That is not cool.
Not cool at all. So I take the dog, I run inside. Within minutes, the bees have taken over the front yard. They are dominating.
Is that right?
They are absolutely all over the place. I mean, just clouds of bees.
What?
So we're thinking, okay, well, maybe they're just going to move on. They're just going to keep going down the street.
No,
they don't.
They like your house.
They start to kind of pool underneath a hedge in the front yard, and they start, like, they swarm and just, like, glom on to, like, a branch on this hedge.
Oh, that's awful.
And they're, like, building a colony. And so we're like, this cannot stand. This aggression cannot stand, man. So we figure out, okay, what are we going to do? So first we tried to turn the sprinklers on the bees.
Okay.
Figuring, like, we'll make it inhospitable for them.
Sure.
No, they just got clean.
Okay.
You
gave them a shower.
They pretty much just gave them a bath. So then we were like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, I don't want to kill the bees, because I don't know if you know, there's a bee shortage out there.
Absolutely.
Right.
Colony collapse is a thing, man.
So, like, I don't want to kill the bees. So we go to the website, and this is really a thing, for the Los Angeles County Beekeepers Association.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
So we start going through lists of, like, beekeepers and honey farms and calling to see if there's anybody who can come get the bees. So, like, we call a few people. After a couple of hours, my girlfriend gets a call back from a guy named Russell, who asks her a few questions about the bees in our front yard. And within an hour, he shows up. He and his girlfriend Amy show up.
Okay.
And the whole operation takes, like, half an hour. He takes the bees away.
How does he take the bees away?
So I was fascinated by this. I watched the whole thing. So they spray them with sugar water. Like, keeps them occupied. I guess they're, like, you know, chowing down on sugar water.
Yeah.
And he has a box. It's, you know, it's like a little bit bigger than a shoebox. And he takes a giant brush, like you would use to put wallpaper on a wall, and he brushes them off the branch into the box. And the whole point is to get the queen in the box. Because once the queen gets in the box, all the rest of the bees just follow. And so, like, all the bees go in, he puts a lid on the box, he duct tapes the whole thing up, they put it in their trunk, and they drive away. They apparently have a hive in Silver Lake. They live in Silver Lake. They have bees there.
That's amazing.
But the whole thing was fascinating. It was amazing to watch. And, like, you know, the bees were actually very calm and docile the whole time. I stood about 10 feet away. Nothing happened. But daily daps to Russell and Amy for taking my bees away. We stayed in touch. You know, they said if there's any honey, if they produce honey, then, like, you know, they'll certainly give us some honey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
So, like, daps to beekeepers.
Man.
The whole thing's fascinating. I thought about it for a second. Like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we had – and my girlfriend's like, nope.
Absolutely.
Nope, it would not be fun at all. So, props, daily daps to Russell and Amy, because that's really one of the more fascinating things I've ever been a part of.
That sounds like a parenting tip, by the way. That sounds like one of those Aesop fables for parenting. Like, the horde of bees is my kid having a tantrum.
Sugar water
is juice, obviously. Okay. Getting the queen bee is her Elmo binky. You get that in the box,
and it's
the
all
horde
done.
Of bees is gonna follow, man.
I like it.
It's an Aesop's fan. It's good. I like it. All right.
I'm glad that was your interpretation of that. So my daily daps, I got a couple things. First, I just want to give a shout out to the team at mockdraftable.com. I think it might only be one guy, but if you've never been there, it's awesome. They have the prospects in the draft, and then they create these spider charts. We've talked about it on here before, like the web charts for where their finishes in certain things, like the 40, the broad jump, three cone, hand size, height, weight, all that stuff, fit in the percentile of athletes for them. So it's really cool. You can get a sense of the athletic profile of these guys. So people like J.J. Watt and Calvin Johnson basically filled in the entire chart because they're freaks of nature. Whereas other guys, you can kind of get a sense of how they match up, and it gives you comparables about guys that were in the same height, speed range. Really cool if you're looking at draft prospects and kind of just trying to get a sense of who they're athletically similar to. So it's mockdraftable.com, really cool. And then the other daily dap is, have you guys ever heard of the NPR Tiny Desk series?
Yes.
No.
So it's a series where they have artists submit like music, and the music video, and it has to be them performing an original song at a desk of some sort. That's the only thing.
Okay.
So there have been really cool ones before. This artist, Fantastic Negrito, I think he won last year. He's a really good artist. Really enjoyed his stuff. And then this year, the winner they announced on Friday, her name's Galen Lee, and she performed the song called Someday We'll Linger in the Sun. And what's amazing about this is she was born with brittle bone disease. So she plays – the song is just her voice, her violin, and a looping pedal. So she has to play
a looping pedal.
It's something so you can play. You can play a riff. So she plays part of the melody, and then you hit the looping pedal, and
it will loop it. Okay, got
it. Then you can add over it.
Yeah.
So she plays this whole song by herself, but because she had brittle bone disease when she was first born, she has to play the violin almost like a cello, and she plays it and sings it, and it is beautiful. The song is amazing. The melody is like stuck with me all weekend. I listened to it again this morning. Like, it's crazy and it's really impressive. So I tweeted it on Friday. I'll tweet it again.
There you go.
Galen Lee, for the song Someday We'll Linger in the Sun, won the NPR Tiny Desk Award, and it is amazing. It's
NPR
it's really
Tiny
cool.
Desk Award.
NPR Tiny
Google
Desk
it.
Award. Google it.
Love it. All right. I will. That was so poetic and nice. I'm going to go the other way and talk about a bloody mess that was Nate Diaz's face. Daily Daps and Nate Diaz, Stockton slapping his way to an unbelievable
Stockton slapping.
unbelievable upset victory. Over Conor McGregor, the heavily favored Conor McGregor. There was nothing that bothered me more about how this fight, how they were billing it, that Conor McGregor was moving up two weight classes. It's like, how about if we just turn that around? Nate Diaz moves up two weight classes and beats one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. That could have been a headline. Wouldn't have been inaccurate, but that's how they billed that fight. But no, Nate Diaz was, I mean... It was unbelievable to watch.
You and I were talking on the way up here. It looked like McGregor had that fight won in the first round, and
yes.
he felt it too, because he's always got swagger in the ring, in the octagon. But
oh my gosh,
was he peacocking in the ring on Saturday night? And then Diaz got in that one good shot, and then that just kind of leveled.
Solid
the fight.
1-2, leveled Conor McGregor, and it equalized that fight, and then it really wobbled him straight down to his boots, and then for some. I don't know why. I mean, I know he was hurt and he was looking for the double, but he looked for a double leg, and then here comes Nate Diaz. Like, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Walk through his ground game defense, air quotes, and put him into a choke.
I felt like McGregor was trying to just get him down and then do the thing where he kind
of
like,
yeah,
hopefully
course.
Gets top control.
That's what
and
it was.
Just lays
yeah.
on it.
That's
and,
what it was.
And rides out the round and can get back.
Well, I think he was trying. No, what he was trying to do, and this is common tact. Even if he loses position and he was trying to pull, he was basically trying to pull guard. And he was essentially thinking that Nate Diaz didn't have power to really rain down shots to really hurt him and so that he could recover. But it didn't work out because Nate Diaz is an unbelievable Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And Conor McGregor has absolutely no ground game.
He's like a brown
whatsoever.
Belt, I think.
It's horrible. His ground game is awful. But Nate Diaz came in on 11 days' notice with the media obligations. He probably trained legitimately for about 4 or 5 days, takes on one of the toughest dudes in the world, and beats him?
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
It was a good fight.
It was crazy.
McGregor said so afterwards too, and it was interesting. You know what's funny? A side note off of that, I was at GameStop yesterday, switching around a game that I just recently purchased, but the disc wasn't working, and the UFC 2 game has Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor on the cover, and
no!
it comes out in like a week, and in the span of when they signed both of them. To when the game's coming out, they've both lost their belts.
It's the new Madden curse.
I was like,
no.
Whoops.
Oh, no.
It's the new Madden cover curse.
But you know what? Odell Beckham said, forget your curse, bro.
That's what I'm saying. That curse is out now. So
yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. I got you. Oh, I got what you're saying. Okay.
It's the UFC.
Had to pass to another EA game.
By the way, if you want a full fight breakdown, Fightland.com, who I've dapped before, Fightland.com did an unbelievable piece breaking down the technical aspects of that fight.
Cool.
I totally, if you're into the fight game, I absolutely encourage you.
I'll have to check it out.
To check out that piece on Fightland.com. It'll take you about 15, 20 minutes. It's a great piece. So please go check it out. But that's our show, man.
Yep. Don't forget to like, subscribe, download,
like
comment
subscribe.
On iTunes.
Comment. I know you hate us, but comment anyways.
Tell us why you hate us.
Exactly.
It fuels us.
James Coe, Alex Elhar, Marcus Grant, we're out.